AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I have a question for you as we begin this morning. Who is the first guy in Scripture that is mentioned as a skillful handler of a stringed instrument? And the man I'm sitting across the table from, Doyle Dykes, may know this. Genesis chapter 4, verse 21, it says, his brother's name was Jubal, J-U-B-A-L. He was the pioneer of all who skillfully handle stringed instruments and wind instruments. So those that play the lyre and the pipe, as it says in the New American Standard.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So
I love that.
So in the line of Jubal is our guest today, my good friend Doyle Dykes, who is a phenomenal handler of a stringed instrument. And Doyle, you can play the acoustic guitar, the electric guitar, the classical guitar, the bass guitar, the banjo. Have you ever played a lyre?
No, I never have. My brother had this little kind of a harp type thing, one of these portable things. And I tried, but it was so difficult. So every time I do a big concert, like Christmas or something, you have a harpist like you have here. Uh-huh. And I always go up and watch them and ask them questions, you know, because it's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay, so I know you told me before, and for those that don't know, Doyle Dykes is a phenomenal guitar player, one of the best in the world. But you're always very humble about playing banjo. You're like, yeah, I'm not very good at that. I'm not very good at playing like the flat pick guitar for electric guitar or something like that. Of course, it seems to me like you can play anything. When you say I can't play banjo, you can't play it to the level that you'd like to play it, but you play it really well.
Yeah, I don't play banjo as much as I should. I have a really beautiful banjo that I got from out here in Texas from my buddy Kelly, and it was just like Roy Clark's, and Roy was a friend of mine. I took it out the other day. I thought, I've got to have some time at home where I can sit down and just play this thing. But I love banjo.
Okay, just from a novice's standpoint like mine, it seems like the way you play finger picking the guitar just seems like that would fit in with the banjo.
Of course, yeah, it does. You know, but they are different because the banjo is more of a lead. I mean, they play rhythm on it, but it's more of a lead kind of a thing, you know, like fiddle or, you know, mandolin or something. You can play rhythm on it, but not like a guitar is different because you have your bass strings on the guitar. You know, when I play guitar, I mean, I'm actually playing the and I reduce that down to just my thumb.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
And I mute it. And you learn little tricks like that. You know, of course, I got all that from Merle Travis and Chet Atkins. But you're really playing the piano on the guitar, basically.
Yeah.
And then when I do things like How Great Thou Art, I'm thinking more orchestral than I am guitar.
Yeah.
Even though they're only six strings.
Yeah.
You can't limit yourself thinking that when you're playing.
That's true. Okay, so you were friends with Roy Clark. Roy played, he played guitar, he played banjo. He played the fiddle.
Yeah, he did.
Which one did he play better of those three instruments?
Oh, he played the banjo really great. I loved his banjo style. But, I mean, I still, to me, he was a guitar player. He was a really fine player. I mean, I've heard him do things with Joe Pass. There's a thing, if you go online, you can put Roy Clark and Joe Pass playing Hank Williams songs. And they jazzed them up, you know, because, of course, Joe Pass was a jazz player. But then Roy countryfied it a little bit. Did I say country fried?
Yes.
Maybe there was a
country fried picking. That's a song.
Yeah, that was one of mine.
Yeah,
country fried picking. But but he was a great.
Okay, something that you've been doing. So Doyle has his Sunday string alongs, where mm-hmm. every Sunday he has an offering that's anywhere from about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
20 to 40 minutes, mm-hmm. I'll say. But it's really good, and it's uplifting. He plays, he shares. One of the things that you started doing, you do a different artist in 3 minutes or something like that.
Oh,
I've seen
yeah.
those where you're like yeah. Chet Atkins in 3 minutes or something
yeah.
like that. You play a mashup of different songs.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to do another one with Chicago,
uh-huh.
and I've just been working up, you know, of course, you got to end up.
Yeah.
You know. It's a Christian program, I know, but you know, that was a song. They said a guy was up late at night, and he said, "Well, what time is it?" Well, it's 25 or 26 to 4 in the morning.
Oh, is that how that started?
It was just a random thing, and they called it 25 or 6 to 4.
Okay, you've probably seen this, but Joe Walsh, he was being interviewed by the guy that did the music for David Letterman. Uh-huh. Paul
Schaefer?
Schaefer, yeah, and
Paul.
And he was talking
yeah.
about the song "Life in the Fast Lane."
Oh yeah, I can't remember how that goes.
He said he was played
yeah.
it as a little exercise. He said I used to play it to help me get prepared for a concert.
Yeah,
and one of the guys in the Eagles said, "Man, that's the next Eagles song. Play that again.
Yeah,
that
riff.
Cool.
Yeah." So. That was great. Yeah, I've heard other people do the same thing, and they would play a song. And I practice sometimes on Martha's Kitchen. You know, because it uh-huh. uses all of your finger moves, the lead or you're playing finger style or uh-huh. whatever. I talked to my mom a while ago. I told her I was here.
Oh, is that right? How's she doing?
She's great. 98.
Oh,
still doing really well. You know,
good.
She said, I said, "Well, how you like your new place?" "Oh, I love it here. I go in and I eat free. I stay here free." I'm thinking, no, you don't, mama. But dad made sure you were taken care of. But it's not free, but I don't tell her that. But I just let her be happy. And she said, "Well, God sure is good to me." I thought, yeah, he is, mom.
Yes. Yes.
He really is. She said, "I wouldn't want to live a second without him." So mom is just such a blessing to me. You know, she worked selling Avon products so I could try to learn to play the piano.
Oh, really?
And she'll say, "Yeah, a lot of people smell great, smelt good for nothing for 2 years and because I never did learn how to play." But she said, "But you do all right on a guitar." I said, "Well, thank you, mom."
I would think so. So piano wasn't your instrument?
Wasn't mine. It was my brother, and he was so good at such a young age, it was depressing to try to, you know, learn. And I'd watch him, I'll never do that.
You know, it's funny, I was talking, I think I mentioned this in a sermon just the other day, I was talking about how you introduced me to Andy Lefwich and other people that you've had come on the show, mm-hmm. and how Andy told me that when he was playing with the Kentucky Thunder,
mm-hmm.
with I've gone blank on his name.
Who's Ricky.
Ricky Skaggs. Mm-hmm. He said Ricky could play every instrument as well, if not better, than everybody.
Than anybody that worked with him. That's true.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's true. I talked to Andy yesterday.
Yeah.
I believe, or day before.
Andy's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I almost asked him to come with me.
Is that right?
On this trip, but he was going out with Daly and Vincent, so he was on the road with them all weekend. And those are other great guys. Andy says hello to you. I told him I was going to be with you, too. But, you know, you have a lot of fans yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about everybody else, but you do. I was talking to Mark Gregson the other day. I was with him. He has Heartlight Ministries outside of Longview. And I was talking about you also to him. He said, yeah, that guy's quite a preacher, isn't he? I said, yeah. And then last night he says, you know what? He's probably the best preacher anywhere around this part of the country I know. And I said, he's probably one of the most well-known because he doesn't get out of his own circles there that much. But he said, probably one of the most well-known speakers in the nation. I said, yes, he is. And he's my friend.
Yeah, there you go. Well, he's kind. Okay, so when you've done the 3-minute, the little short, this artist in 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I did one. Let's see, what was it? Oh, yeah, let's see if I can remember. Let's see. Song.
Right.
And then,
yes. Yeah, I've always liked that song.
Oh, I have to remember how I did it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then at the end, I ended up on that. You ever heard that song?
What's it called?
The Lullaby Song.
That's Billy Joel.
Oh yes, yeah, beautiful. Listen to these chords. I'll change a little bit.
Oh, that's pretty.
And I got a call from Liberty DeVito, who was his drummer for many years, lives in Brooklyn, New York. Great job on Billy Joel. It just made me feel so good. And I played with him before on a show.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah, a couple of times. And he's one of the best drummers in the world. And for him to give me a compliment like that, it's just, But the thing is, and this is the very truth. I do this to draw people's attention, and then hopefully they'll come over when they see it on YouTube. They'll come over to the string along,
right?
Because I think on Facebook alone we've had 50,000 hits, maybe on that, maybe 60,000 on the Johnny Cash. I think right at 900,000.
Oh,
and
wow!
So we get a lot of hits on those little things. I just need more time to be able to do it.
They're a lot of fun. I was going to ask you that takes some time to put those together, right?
Well, you know, not a whole lot. I used to write some just local commercials, and you know how you are. You have a sense of when 30 seconds is up, or 30 minutes, 28 minutes,
right,
to be exact, and for a TV show or whatever. So you just kind of figure, I can do this part of that and that much of that and put them together. And yeah, because a YouTube short, I found out, is up to 3 minutes. Can't be more than three. So if you have a little bit less, it's even better.
Yeah.
So I'll just say Billy Joel in 3 minutes or less.
Oh, okay. That's
how that got started.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I think what draws people into that is they're familiar with the song. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, they catch on to it, just like, Keep It to Yourself, It's My Life, or whatever the name of that is. So it draws them in. Well, we're talking to guitar legend Doyle Dykes. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we're going to just be sharing some stories and things going on in Doyle's life and more music, so you don't want to miss it. We'll be right back after the break.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my good friend Doyle Dykes. We're talking guitars, and we're talking music, and we're talking ministry. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, the first person named in Scripture, Genesis chapter 4, as a guitar player was a man named Jubal, J-U-B-A-L. He was the pioneer of all who skillfully handle stringed instruments and wind instruments. Mm-hmm. Doyle, you've never played wind instruments, have you?
No, not in my life. It'd make me so dizzy, I'd fall on the floor. Yeah, even the harmonica does that. You know, how in the world do they do that?
Yeah. Okay, we've talked about this before, but you learning the finger style where you divorce your thumb from your other fingers, that took you how long? Because that's hard to do, right? It doesn't come naturally.
I don't want to say they're divorced. They're kind of married,
But they're acting independently.
They are, yeah. But I tell people I'm a gospel guitar player, which means my left hand don't know what my right hand's doing. And if you think about it, you're right, though. But, yeah, my dad used to say you have to brainwash that thumb.
Yes. Yeah. So when you first started and you were learning, you had to think so much about what you were doing with that thumb versus the other fingers. I'm assuming now that you don't ever think about it.
It's kind of like riding a bicycle. I mean, when at the beginning of, I've mentioned to you before about the sailor that came
there. Right, Barry.
And I don't know how in the world, but he had this little, it was like... I slowed it down to learn, but when he played it, he said, well, you just kind of learn this. And you can see my thumb. It's in the right place.
Right.
And how in the world he came up with that? And I said, how did you ever come? Because I've been in mainland China before, you know. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, they're good folks all over the world.
Right.
You know, it's the governments and all that
right.
kind of stuff, politics that separate so many people. But they said, would you share? And when I went over there for business, it's for a guitar company, I found out those young people are just so hungry to learn new things. And they said, well, can you, had an internet magazine, would you show them a song? And I said, well, I'll do more than that. I'll show them the way I learned to play fingerstyle guitar. And so when I came back, I saw Barry, the sailor. We're mm-hmm. still friends. And, of course, I was a kid when he came to my house.
Yeah.
And he was a sailor. And I said, you know, I just shared that whole thing you showed me all over China. I said, you're not getting a dime, neither am I. But a lot of people are going to learn to play yeah. because of that. And well, yeah. I can't tell you how many people have learned to play from that, just like I did.
Yeah.
And because I'd show them, you know. And so I said, where did you get that? He said, Doyle, honestly, you're the only one ever made a big deal out of that. But I don't remember where I got that. In fact, I don't even know if I could remember it myself. But he said, I guess it was divinely inspired. So that day, I was the perfect teacher and you were the perfect student.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And so it was just one of those things. It was just, it was a God thing. You can't. I was talking to John Maxwell. I worked with John a couple of times last year.
Mm-hmm.
He said, how did you, and he asked me a question. I said, there's not a good way to answer that except it was just from God.
Right.
It was a God thing.
But you had been
and
praying.
And he understands that.
Yeah, but you had prayed for that.
Yes, I prayed. I did.
Yeah.
And it was an answer to prayer. And I also asked the Lord to help me not to forget it because we didn't write that down.
Yeah.
But I practiced it on my desk at school. And you'd hear all that. What is that? What's Doyle practicing his guitar? And then, of course, when I, in the eighth grade, I did that, you know, see. I finally learned to separate and, like you say, you know, that you, as you put it, divorce the thumb from a, so yeah, that's what your top finger's in, and your bass, and they put them together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Chet used to do a thing where. Remember that?
Right.
And he learned it from an old jazz piano player when he was a kid. He was playing one song on the right, with his right hand, another one on his left hand. So it was a piano thing. But you learn the pattern. You don't think about it.
Yeah, you're not listening for it.
Yeah, you know. And so, and just like Tommy said, I don't know if I can...
Yeah.
And once you get it, you kind of deviate and make it fancy and do all. Tommy's a genius when it comes to that, too.
Yeah.
And my grandson, by the way, plays Scott Joplin.
Emmett?
Drew. Okay. Andrew. Uh-huh. His name is Andrew Doyle Dixon, ADD, I always say. But he's he's in college now. He's my oldest grandson. And he plays, doesn't read a lick of music. He plays Scott Joplin note for note. And,
really?
You know, like all those rags and things that he does.
That's give us an amazing, example.
Well, I can't play it.
Like the sting, the music from the sting, that kind of
stuff.
Okay.
You know, of course, some of the things that I've written, like the Martha's Kitchen is going it's like a rag.
Yeah.
I don't know where I got that.
Yeah.
I love playing that with Andy Lefwich.
Well, I bet
fiddle.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Amazing. What an amazing player. And then you have Al Jolson. That... Uh-huh.
That's Avalon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing on there is the ending. But,
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, you always have to put a good ending on it. I was doing that one time at the Opry, and Capps, Jimmy Capps was playing on it, you know, the sheriff that used to be on the Larry's Country Diner. And he said, "That's my favorite ending." And I think we had him on tape saying, "That's my favorite ending." Or, and one time he said, "Yeah, buddy." And you could hear him on the mic, and yeah. I loved it. It's so much fun.
Okay, Doyle, I know you're a big fan of Chet Atkins.
Yeah.
Who was inspiring to Chet Atkins?
Well, mainly Merle Travis. And he said, if I had been able to, Merle went off, I think, in the service or something. I don't know. No, or he left that area. They went to California, I think it was. Uh-huh. And he said, but if I hadn't, you know, missed all those years after I heard him play, and then he was trying to learn how to play himself, he said, I would learn to play just like him. But because there was an absence of time that he wasn't able to hear him on the
yeah.
radio, then he said, I kind of developed my own thing.
Yeah.
And that's true, and that's the way it happened. Of course, I used to play with Grandpa Jones. I'm old. I mean, I've been around a while.
Yeah.
But
Grandpa was Grandpa in his 20s.
He was. Yeah, he was. And what a wonderful guy. I think about him
and
every day.
Was he a good guitar player?
He was a great guitar player. But he played like this thong. I changed keys, but the... Kentucky, I hear you calling for me. And that was the first song he ever learned, Sweet Dreams. He put words to it, but these boys were working at his dad's house, and he was a sharecropper, so one year he did lumber. They did timber and cut down trees, and they set up a temporary sawmill. And this man had two sons. One of them was Toddle. They named him Toddle, and Grandpa named his chicken Toddle Edwards after him. But they said, do you mind if we keep these guitars in your house because of the weather? He said, if you show me how to play something. He was about 11 years old.
Yeah.
And so they showed him that. That was sweet. There were no words, but yeah. Grandpa wrote that.
Yeah.
Later on, he wrote Sweet Dreams of Kentucky. And I used to love to hear him play that. And after he passed away, and they erected a road sign and one of those birthplace of Lewis M. Grandpa yeah. Jones things, on that very property, on this very property was born Grandpa Jones, and that's where he learned to play that song. And so at the dedication of that sign, I played Sweet Dreams
Is
of Kentucky.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool.
How fun. You know, Doyle, one of the things that I love about you is you've been playing guitar for a long time, but you don't ever seem to get bored with playing guitar. I heard Glenn Campbell mm-hmm. say that he felt like he had mastered the instrument, and he had kind of lost his... Mm-hmm. Thrill of playing. Mm-hmm. He said, I'd much rather go play golf than go play the guitar. But that's not true for you.
No. For one thing, I'm a lousy golfer. But I'll be hollering four all day long. But I remember, speaking of Glenn Campbell, I was on the Opry one night, and it was Grandpa's 50th anniversary being a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And so Taylor, I wanted to give him a guitar, so I asked him if I could buy a guitar. He said, no, you can't buy anything. We're giving this to Grandpa from the company. So I gave him a nice little guitar, and GHS gave him a lifetime supply of strings, And I then I played on the Opry, and I played solos, because I was a solo was on the Opry even then in the 90s.
Right.
And the other guest was Glenn Campbell. Mm. And he was so respectful and so nice to Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
So he never forgot where he came from. I have to say that about him. And I just kind of took notice how he would treat Grandpa.
Yeah.
He was very respectful.
Now, could Glenn,
such a nice
could
guy.
Glenn play with his thumb like you
yeah,
do?
Well, I'm sure he could, but he didn't. He would still play with a flat pick, because most session players play with a flat pick. Uh-huh. You have a few like Brent Mason that, and other guys like Steve Warner plays with a flat or a thumb pick. But he would, like, just like James Burton, who I talked to about 4 days ago, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah. They offered to let me stay at their house last night.
Oh, wow.
That's what great people they are. Yeah. I played at Rose Park, you know, in Shreveport.
Yeah.
You can stay at our house. So you're not there. We don't care. Just great people. They really are. But James, anyway, he would hold a flat pick, and then he would hybrid, what they call hybrid, and play with his fingers, you know.
That would be harder, though, wouldn't it?
Well, for me, I mean, why would you hold it? In my eyes, if you're going to finger pick, but they didn't that much. But James always used his fingers, you know, to catch other licks, you know, like you got to use your fingers to do that.
Yeah.
Those double stops and things. But, like, yeah, you have to use fingers in order to do that, and the pick.
Yeah.
And so when he played with Elvis, he used that hybrid style. Same thing Glenn Campbell does, just like it.
Okay, so with, gone blank, Jerry Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jerry Reed's playing mostly with thumb pick?
Yes, yes.
But he can play flat. He was good at both.
Yes, he was. And, you know, I remember when he put his thumb pick down, a lot of guitar players kind of got angry because he was such a great thumb picker, you know. He wrote...
he could write some great songs.
Oh, he wrote things like... Winter Walking, and he wrote
that's a cool song. His songs were pretty complicated.
They were, and he wrote all those. Chet recorded about 30 or 40 of his songs.
Really?
And he went under J.R. Hubbard, or Jerry R. Hubbard, Jerry Reed Hubbard.
Okay.
So then he went later by, changed his name to Jerry Reed, his middle name, but his last name was Hubbard.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go look at on any of the old Chet records, you'll see some Jerry R. Hubbard, and that was him.
There are a lot of videos with him playing with Chet. Were they big buddies?
Chet loved Jerry Reed and learned a lot from him, and also a guy named Lenny Bro, you know, who came up, you know, with a lot of this.
The harmonics.
Yeah, he was more of a jazz, you know, guitar player, and played. It's funny because I play a lot of Chet type stuff, and Chet says I played more like a stride piano player, you know, like a piano player in church would play,
right?
And Merle would,
kind of heavy.
Yeah, it was a little heavier, but he said, I play like a honky-tonk piano player.
Yeah.
And then when you listen to somebody like Lenny Bro, he played more like, what's the guy's name I can't even think of it. But he was a jazz piano player and very, very famous. And but when you hear him play, he played like a jazz player.
Yeah. Well, we're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve with Doyle Dykes. We'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Doyle Dykes, and we're talking about faith and music and all kinds of fun things. I love talking to Doyle. I love hearing him play the guitar. Doyle, I was thinking about this. So I know Chet's a hero of yours.
Mm-hmm.
When the public thinks of Chet Atkins, what are like his signature songs? Oh, yeah, can you hear?
things like that, and windy and warm.
Now, he didn't sing.
No,
he wasn't a real... I've heard him sing before. He sings Yakety Yaks.
Merle Travis used to say... Well, Merle Travis wrote the words to it.
Did he?
Yeah, he and Merle were close, and Merle said, well, yeah, one time, he said, I was doing pretty good in my career. This is Merle talking. And they were wanting RCA. He was with Capitol. RCA wanted... he said, we want somebody that can play and sing. Well, I don't sing. He said, well, we want a good, great guitar player, but we want him to be able to sing. Well, I don't sing a lick. I can't sing at all. I mean, one thing I can't do is sing. And they said, well, we were looking for somebody like Merle Travis. He said, well, I can sing that good. But Merle used to tell that. But yeah.
Okay, Doyle, do your Johnny Cash in 3 minutes.
That? I don't know if I can do that. Let's see.
What songs did you play?
I don't even remember what it is. It's been a year or so. Okay. Let me look.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Well. One in 6 years. Wait a minute. What was the other one? I played my own song. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I did end up on Ghost Riders. I mean, it's a funny story here.
Okay.
Because Pastor Rocky asked me to play Twin Six Shooters last night, and I haven't played in a long time.
That's a hard song. Yeah.
Anyway. I was wanting to play a song like, because I always love Ghost Riders in the Sky. Uh-huh. And I was working a lot with Dwayne Eddy back in that time. And uh-huh. And I said, well, Dwayne, I want to be able to play a song like Ghost Riders in the Sky. And so I've been working on writing one. I was going to play it for him. Well, just play mine. To play, or, you know, the one he did, and he played Ghost Riders. He had a hit on it, and so did Johnny Cash. And I said, well, I can't play that in church. Well, sure you can. Just call it Holy Ghost Riders in the Sky. So, from Dwayne Eddy, I said, nah, I don't think I can do that. But I did write a song just for fun, and I call it Twin Six Shooters.
Yeah. Oh, we had, you'll get a kick out of this. So some years ago, Randy Travis came twice to First Baptist Texarkana. And the first time, it went really well both times he came. And we love Randy, and I hate what happened to him. Mm-hmm. But I had him, he was singing all his Christian songs. And then I said, they wanted him back. And they said, well, Randy doesn't, you know, when the people would clap after he was done, and they kept clapping. And the guy told me, he said, Randy doesn't come back for encores. But he did come back for an encore that night. And I was saying, hey, can you do one of your famous songs like Digging Up Bones? He goes, I've never done that in church. And you know that song, Digging Up Bones. Right. And I mean, it's not a bad song, but it's about a guy that gets divorced and stuff like that. And so he was really reluctant to do that because he said, I don't know if that's, you know. Yeah, it was, you know, you got guys like Johnny Cash, like Randy Travis, like Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't call those guys guitar players, would we?
I mean,
they played guitar.
Yeah, they played guitar.
But they weren't.
No. Yeah. There are some, though, like, look at Steve Warner. Look at Vince Gill.
Yeah, Vince can play.
Look at Merle Haggard. Look at Willie Nelson.
You think Willie
can... Those guys are great. Willie Nelson has a style that Chet, I mean, even talked about.
He said, really?
Oh, man, Willie had a beautiful tone and beautiful style. It was so much Willie, too, you know? Yeah.
Here's something that I love about you, Doyle, because in some of your albums or CDs, you sing some. Mm. You sing "Be Still," and you know, sing. I mean, your singing is not with your playing.
No,
but your singing is so from the heart that a song like "Be Still" is just, it's powerful because it's not the vocals that just overpower you. It's just the message and the way the Lord uses that song. You wrote that song.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was another one I wrote, and it was an Easter song, and I didn't do it for many years, but it goes. This is not it, of course, but. Can't imagine how he felt kneeling there when he prayed, "Father, let this cup pass. Oh, but let your will be done." I can't imagine how he felt hanging there, the soldiers laughing and his mother crying, that sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the power from the cross still reigns today, and the blood he shed still washes sins away. Salvation can be yours when you say, "I believe the power from the cross still reigns today." And it goes on, you know, to another one. But I think I know how to get a song across, but I'm not a singer. My wife tells me, well, we've been married 52 years. She said, "Well, you know, you don't have to sing."
Well, you have your daughter Haley can sing.
Man, she can.
She can.
She has an anointing when she sings. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, it's just such an anointing. When she starts singing, you know, you feel the presence of the Lord. I'm not saying it because she's my daughter. I mean, there are a few people in life that I've ever met that have that particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she does. I mean, there are a lot of great singers, though, but the anointing makes all the difference in the world.
Well, I think that's what you have, because your voice is not, you know, you're not... I mean, you're not promoted as this great singer, but when you sing, mm-hmm. it's powerful because
I appreciate that.
I
receive that. That's a blessing, and I receive that.
Okay, so we were talking a little at the break, and with as much as you've played, there are times where you feel like, I did, you know, I really had it tonight, or I wasn't mm-hmm. as sharp tonight. And how God uses, even those times we don't mm-hmm. think that we did very well,
mm-hmm.
sometimes those are the best times for the Lord to use that.
Oh, the worst times I've ever, I mean, I remember one time I played so bad, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me the next day because it bothered me all night. He said, well, my greatness does not depend on yours, and I played How Great Thou Art. So that was one time. But I remember a particular time that I was on the Grand Ole Opry, and I had a beautiful amplifier. It was a signature amp. I'd use it many, many, many times, never had a problem with it. And to this day, I don't know what happened. But they asked if I would give one of my songs to Jewel, who was a famous singer. She'd never sang on the Grand Ole Opry. I had two songs lined up, and I said, sure, just let her do it. That's a wonderful opportunity for her. And so she sang, and then they were going to introduce me. So I usually did a fast song like Me and Jesus on My Old Guitar or something like that, and then a worship song. I always did that. And so I was going to play with the band, because the band doesn't get played unless you use them. And so I was going to do this fast song, and I usually do this to hear it come out of the amp to make sure there's, and nothing was coming out. And I turned around and looked, the light wasn't on. They said, oh, no, it's on. I said, no, it's not. It's not on, guys. And I looked in the back, and there was just like, looked like a bunch of black snakes, all these wires. I'm going, we'll never find it. And Porter is the host.
Porter Wagner.
And he said, here's an old boy. He used to work with Grandpa Jones and, you know, and all this stuff. And then he says, here's Doyle Dykes. And I looked, and the band just waved and walked off. And I turned around, and there's 6,700 people out there in the audience. And so I said, well, I wasn't planning on doing this, and I pulled the microphone down and walked up and retuned just like I did. And
What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
That's what I played. The chorus is there. And you could hear a pin drop of the opera, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just a microphone, no electric. And it was a guitar just like this. Played as I just had to shut my eyes and pretend that there was nobody there, and I was just playing it to an audience of one.
Yeah.
And I just played to the Lord. I learned a long time ago, minister to Him.
Yes.
And especially in a time like that. But I didn't walk away, oh, I'm sorry, my amp's not working.
Right.
We'll see y'all next week. But no, and so when I finished, Porter walked up to me, and I'll never forget. He says, son, I don't know what you had planned on playing, but you played that for me. That was for me tonight. And I looked, and he had his face was kind of emaciated. He had that look, and he was real sick, and tears just flowing, falling off his cheeks. And he gave me a big hug in front of all those people. And Mom and Dad were listening on the radio in Florida, and they said, we don't know what you were going to play either, but that was the right one. You could hear a pin drop, you could hear that guitar really good on the radio. Yeah. And I was in Norway a few days later, and one of my co-workers with Taylor Guitars, they said, didn't you know this man? And they gave me a USA Today, and it said Porter Wagner had passed away.
Wow.
And so I don't know if it was the last time he was on the Opry or the next to the last. Might have been on there the next night or whatever. But it was about 10 days later. And he passed away.
Yeah.
So God said, when you think sometimes things are going wrong, don't freak out.
Right.
You know, do what you do anyway.
Yeah.
And God will always make a way. Well, he gave me the idea. Well, just say, hey, this is a microphone. It's acoustic guitar. And boy, did he ever bless that. And amen. I'll never forget that. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, the Bible talks about set up guideposts. Sometimes it feels like we're going this way. You remember Guidepost Magazine?
Yeah, yeah.
And what is that in Jeremiah? Anyway. And he says, set up guideposts. And he said he went through the valley and went through all these different ways. And when he got to the crest of the hill, and it felt like he was way off course. And he set up these guideposts. And when he turned around, he said, it was completely straight. The line was completely straight.
Yeah.
So sometimes when it seems like we're way off course, you're not. You know, because God's in control. When you make the decision in your life to follow Him, He'll lead you and direct you and guide you.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shree with my good friend Doyle Dykes. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as His witness. God bless you.